And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade, brought to you by Procter & Gamble. Say, we're right smack in the middle of the summer, aren't we? And I've got some mighty important advice for all you pretty summer brides, and it's about cooking. I know you want to show your husband what a grand cake baker you are. Well, you've probably got your first cake already planned, but I want to make sure of one thing right now. I want to make sure you baked your first cake with new Sure Mix Crisco. Why, this wonderful new Crisco starts you right off the bat with three exclusive new cake-making advantages. Yes, new Sure Mix Crisco gives you higher, lighter, tenderer cakes than you can make with any other shortening we know of. You see, new Sure Mix Crisco is different from any other shortening you can buy. It's the result of the greatest shortening discovery in years, a patented discovery you get only in Crisco. And we don't know of any other shortening that can promise you these three exclusive cake-making helps. Well, just wait till you see the wonderful new kind of cake batter Crisco gives you. It's smooth as satin, and there's none of the separating or curdling you get so often with other shortenings. One look at that Crisco batter, and you'll know your cake is going to be a success. Why, before we sold one can of this new Crisco, we made hundreds of tests in our own Crisco kitchens. Yes, we baked hundreds of cakes using every well-known shortening we could buy. And you know what happened? Well, the cakes made with these smoother Crisco batters baked up as much as 15% higher and lighter, depending on the type of cake, than those made with any of the other shortenings. And they had a special kind of tenderness that made them the best eating cakes of all. So get Crisco today. Once you've tried this new Crisco for cakes, you'll never go back to any other shortening, because your husband's going to say, "Honey, you're the best cake maker in town." Well, sir, it's quite late at night as our scene opens now, past 11 o'clock, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Cook and young Mr. Rush Cook. The latter has just this moment arrived home, and his father regards him with severity. Listen.
Did you decide to drop by for breakfast?
What time is it?
Midnight.
Hey, now listen.
Well, look at the clock.
11:20.
11:20 is an approximation of midnight. We needn't split straws. Do you feel that 11:20 is a seemly hour for a guy your age to come nonchalantly home?
Well, I had no idea it was so late.
It strongly behooves you to acquire some new ideas, my boy. I think I'll advise a few plans to alter your views on certain matters.
Mom in bed?
Mom is in bed. Mom has been in bed a long, long time. She's no doubt asleep now, tossing uneasily as she dreams of her wayward son.
Oh, shucks.
You take a flip attitude toward the situation.
I haven't been out of the neighborhood all evening, Gar.
No?
Matter of fact, I've been within a half a block of the house ever since 7 o'clock. Why, if you or Mom had wanted me, all you'd have to have done was stick your head out the door and holler for me.
I listen to your feeble excuses and lame alibis in the morning, George. Right now, I suggest you retire without further ado.
I can't.
Why not?
There's something in the wind.
What is that, pray?
Mr. and Miss Husher are having a party tonight. They ordered a lot more ice cream and salted peanuts than their guests can eat. As soon as people start heading for home, myself and several friends are invited to go over and use up what's left.
Yeah?
It's vacation time, Gov. I can hit the hay a little later than usual and sleep a little longer in the morning to make up for it. Besides, I'll be right in the neighborhood.
What time will the Husher festivities break up?
Very shortly now, I imagine. See, it's getting long for midnight.
Hey.
What's the matter? What's the matter, Gov? You see something out the window?
Yeah. Face.
Oh, that's okay.
I better call the police and report.
No, wait, Gov. It's okay.
What's okay about it?
You saw Smelly Clark or Rooster Davis or somebody. Several of my friends are skulking in the darkness. See, they're waiting for Mr. and Ms. Husher's party to break up. Look.
Huh?
Bluetooth Johnson staring in the window by George. Hi, Bluetooth. How'd he get in on this? A few more guys show up and there won't be but a dab of ice cream and half a handful of salted peanuts apiece.
Rush, I don't fancy the notion of guys loitering on the premises in the middle of the night looking in on my privacy.
Well, it's okay.
Well, it's not okay. I like to have fainted a minute ago.
Was it Bluetooth Johnson you saw?
The face was not recognizable. Whoever it was had their nose flattened up against the glass.
Willis Rorbe. Willis always flattens his nose up against the glass when he looks in windows. Claims he gets a pleasant sensation.
Well, it was a ghastly sight. For a second there, I was completely unstrung.
Entirely my fault, Gov. I give Willis permission to skulk outside the house.
You did, huh?
Yeah. As soon as Husher's party breaks up, he's going to rap on the window, and that's the signal the guests are starting to leave, and I better trot on over and collect my share of ice cream and salted peanuts.
I object strongly, Walter. A distress and uneasiness creeps over me at the thought of people lurking in the darkness. Hi. Who's that?
Milton Wells.
Which window?
The one behind you.
Have you got guys stationed at all the windows?
No. Willis Rohrbach is all. The rest of them are just curious, I guess. They got nothing to do but hang around and wait till Mr. and Ms. Husher's party breaks.
Holy smoke.
What's the matter?
Gosh.
What'd you see, Gov?
I think I'll go down to the hotel and spend the night.
What'd you see?
Somebody with their tongue pressed up against the glass.
Really? Leland Richards, by George. He always presses his tongue up against the glass. Which window?
That one over there.
You didn't see anything else besides the tongue?
Well, that was enough.
Leland Richards. Well, how'd he get in on this? We start out with three individuals. Now it looks like there's an army waiting around for ice cream and solid peanuts.
Mm.
Son of a gun. But there won't be sufficient ice cream and solid peanuts to go around. Gov, you don't need to sit there looking over your shoulder apprehensive.
Mm.
He's just friends of mine. Anyway, pretty quick now, Willis Rohrbach will give a rap, and that's my signal.
Where is that?
Where?
I heard a noise.
You're imagining stuff now. Well, that's the way the human mind works. In freshman English class up at school, we read a story by Edgar Allan Poe, where he told about a fellow went stark crazy just... Hi.
Who's that?
Cracky Otto.
Which window?
Port. Cracky Otto now. Where are they coming from? Mr. and Ms. Husher ain't going to have enough ice cream and solid peanuts left over to feed the doggone civilized population.
If your mother was down here, Sam, there'd be the dickens to pay.
Why?
How long do you suppose she'd stand for a gang of interlopers skulking outside?
I'd explain they were dear old chums of mine.
Well, your dear old chums would be riding in the police patrol wagon inside of 10 minutes. Nothing gives your mother the willies quicker than somebody staring at you. Great God.
Fellow with the tongue?
Fellow with the tongue and the fellow with the flat nose both.
Leland Richards and Willis Rohrbach.
Side by side. Almost fell off in my chair. I bet I
lost.
Where?
Port's window. See him?
Saw him duck was all.
Arnold Shipley. Resides on East Emerson Street. He's entitled to have a share of the ice cream and solid peanuts. In fact, I invited him myself.
Mm-hmm.
Gov, you don't have to sit there apprehensive, looking over your shoulder every couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to hurt you. Anyway, in just a little bit, Willis Rohrbach will give his signal that Husher's party's broke up.
Mm-hmm.
This business all started with Heine Kohl.
Huh.
Ms. Husher buttonholed him late this afternoon.
Huh.
So, Heine invited me for a shot out of the box. Also, he invited Willis Rohrbach. I took the liberty of inviting Arnold Shipley because I owe Arnold 6 cents, and he says he'd eat 6 cents worth of refreshments and call the debt square. Willis Rohrbach asked permission to invite Smelly Clark and Rooster Davis, and Heine said sure. Rooster wanted to invite Milton Welch, and we says okay.
Uh-huh.
And that's all the guys that's supposed to be in on this. Heine, myself, Willis Rohrbach, Arnold Shipley, Smelly Clark, Rooster Davis, and Milton Welch. 7. And 7's plenty. How Cracky Otto and Leland Richards and Bluetooth Johnson obtained information about free ice cream and solid peanuts, I have no idea. They bring the grand total up to 10. I know good and doggone well there won't be sufficient refreshments for 10 individuals.
Are there 10 individuals skulking in the darkness outside our house?
Might be. Looks like everybody and their brother told guys about free ice cream and so... Well, can you beat that?
What's the matter?
Leroy Snow.
Where?
Peeking in the window.
Which window?
Behind you.
Huh.
Go away. 11 of us now.
Uh-huh.
What if Mr. and Ms. Husher have only got a quart ice cream and one dish of solid peanuts left over?
Huh.
1 quart ice cream and one dish of solid peanuts would sure go a long way with 11 guys, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Besides, Mr. and Ms. Husher might not like the notion of 11 guys swarming in their kitchen at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Make it highly embarrassing for Heine Kohl. He was told to bring a few of his friends. He wasn't told to bring the whole population. I said go away.
Leroy Snow?
Yeah. Wonder who tipped him off.
God,
you're sitting there looking like somebody was after you.
I feel like somebody was after me. I feel like 10,000 pairs of eyes were staring evilly at my unprotected person. Who's that?
Where?
The porch window.
Nicer Scott, by George. Get off in that porch. Go on, beat it. When's this going to stop? Does Nicer make 12?
I don't know.
I said 11 before, didn't I?
No.
Didn't Leroy make 11?
No.
Well, let's see. Myself, Heine Kohl, Willis Rohrbach, Arnold Shipley, Bluetooth Johnson, Milton Welch, Leland Richards, Nicer Scott, Rooster Davis, Leroy Snow, Smelly Clark, and...
Who's that?
I expect... Oh, the signal. That's Willis Rohrbach rapping on the window. Mr. and Ms. Husher's party's breaking up. Guests are going home. Free ice cream and solid peanuts. I better run, Gov. I won't be going long. Probably not more than half an hour. I expect you're headed for bed. No? You gonna wait up for me?
Yeah.
Well, it won't be necessary.
Yes, it will.
Why?
I'm scared to go upstairs in the dark by myself. Kay, what's that?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, think of all the fruit cobblers you can have now. Peach, cherry, blackberry. Oh, gosh, there's no end to them. And they're so easy to make, too. Just mix your sugar with a little flour and combine with the fruit in a casserole. Then make half a recipe of Crisco biscuit dough, only use more liquid than usual, so you can drop the dough by tablespoonfuls on top of the fruit. Bake about 30 minutes in a hot oven. Gosh, it makes me hungry just to talk about it. Well, I can see that cobbler now with biscuits like puffs of wind, they're so light. And such a luscious golden brown color. Wouldn't I like to sink my teeth into one? And say, I could do with a sure mixed Crisco cake, too. You remember those baking tests, don't you? They proved that Crisco can make cakes higher, lighter, and tenderer than any other home shortening you could buy. So get Crisco today and use it for all your baking and frying. Remember, no shortening you know of comes to you purer, fresher, or creamier than sure mixed Crisco. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Melvin Allen speaking.